You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
You want your pet to live long and prosper. You feed an expensive food. It has a better bed than yours. Its trip to the beauty shop exceeds the pampering you receive, and it has its own pet psychic. But are you addressing its essential long-term health needs? What are these needs, and whose advice should you seek? Ms. Janine Taft, the Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing of Banfield Pet Hospitals, will explore with me their 2015 Annual State of the Pet Health Report. It has some extremely fascinating details highlighting the disconnect between what pet owners and veterinarians view as preventive health care for cats and dogs, and what you can do to remedy this disparity. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
People say less is more. At Red Barn, we think less is better. It's what you won't find that sets our natural premium pet food apart. No byproducts, no corn or soy, no fillers. Just the natural ingredients your pets need to live the healthy life they deserve. Look at the label. We want you to. Red Barn Naturals Pet Food. Simply the best. Find it in your local pet specialty store. Try our grain-free rolled food. It's protein-packed with less risk of food sensitivity.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Ms. Taft, thank you very much for being with us. I do appreciate this.
Thank you.
Give us a little bit of background. Who is Janine Taft? Where did you come from? How did you get to Banfield?
So I started my career, interestingly enough, I graduated from Cornell Hospitality. So I went to the hotel school thinking I wanted a career in hospitality and worked in that industry for a number of years and realized I missed marketing, which was my minor, and began working at a small ad agency in Philadelphia and eventually found my way out to Portland, Oregon through a connection with a client and was hired by Banfield Pet Hospital and have been here now for 14 years, absolutely loving every moment of it.
And that's, I think, what's so important about veterinary medicine, too, is that it really is not hospital, but hospitality, because we have to have this bonding. And I know Banfield really works hard on that. Tell us a little bit about Banfield also, if you would.
Absolutely. So Banfield is actually a chain of veterinary hospitals. We have over 900 hospitals throughout the United States, the majority of them located inside PetSmart locations. And really, that partnership was formed as a convenience factor for pet owners. Because one of the things the founder of the company noticed many, many years ago is that people were not taking their pets into the veterinarian as frequently as he believed was necessary. And so he believed a partnership with an organization that could help make getting that care slightly more convenient could potentially transform veterinary medicine. You know, it was really founded on the principle of preventive care and convenience for pet owners.
And that's so true. It's interesting to see the statistics that's out there, that the pet population is really growing. In 2014, I think it was estimated there was about 96 million cats in the United States and 83 million dogs. And the amount of money that people are spending on their pets is more than the economy for many small nations. It was like $60 billion they expected to be in 2015, which most of that is going to pet food, like $22 billion, and about $14 billion to veterinary visits, which are decreasing. Why does Banfield, why do you think that these visits are decreasing? Is it can't be just the economy with the amount of money they're spending.
No, I really think it's a gap in the perception of pet owners and veterinarians in terms of what care is needed. I think the profession for a very long time has focused solely on sick pet care. So people know to bring their pet to the veterinarian when their pet is sick. There is no hesitation. If your, you know, pet has an issue, the first thing you do is pick up the phone, call the veterinarian, and bring your dog or cat into the veterinarian. But I think what is the trend that needs to kind of change is really following the dental trend in human medicine of twice yearly visits for prevention. And so Banfield, many years ago, really changed the focus about being preventive care kind of mindset for the profession. And we have been, maybe have not seen quite the impact that the rest of the profession has to the slowing of veterinary visits, although we have not been immune. But it really is changing the mindset of being focused on preventive care instead of sick pet care. And I don't believe it's because people don't love their pets. In fact, I would say they love them more and more. You know, growing up as a child, we had a dog who stayed primarily outside. The idea of the dog sleeping in bed with me, I can't imagine my parents allowing that, and I can't imagine sleeping in the bed without my cats now. So certainly pets have become more and more important in people's lives. They are members of the family. I think people just really don't understand the need to go in for preventive care.
I think you're exactly right, and preventive care is so fascinating. It was just this week when the American Cancer Association came out with their new guidelines for human breast care for women and mammography, and talking to my own OBGYN, she goes, nope, I still recommend starting younger than 40 if there is a medical issue, doing it on a yearly basis, even when you're getting older. And here is, you know, the consumer, myself and all these other women going, but what do we do? And what is preventive pet care when it comes to our pets? How did Banfield ask the question? How did they figure out there's this disconnect? What do pet owners think? And how did you contact these pet owners?
Yeah, so we actually used a very interesting research kind of methodology. So rather than doing focus groups or doing any type of consumer research, we did what's called an online anthropological research project, where we actually just pulled information for how people were naturally talking about pet care, pet health, and the questions they were asking online. So we actually pulled that data for an entire year and then looked at all of that information to find out what they were talking about, how they perceived presenting. So we did not present with any questions. We just sat back and listened.
How radical. Everyone's always,
yeah.
You kind of get people to go your way. It's like, oh, if this is a question they're asking, this must be the answer that they want. So that was fascinating. You just kind of sat back and eavesdropped a bit.
We did. So we had over 2 million organic online consumer conversations over the course of an entire year.
Wow, that is a lot of information.
It was an awful lot of information.
What did you find? What did they view as being preventive? Number one, let's start with, you were saying, yes, we should follow the dentist guideline of going in at least twice a year. And I personally go in 4 times a year because I'm just a weenie and I don't want any more cavities like I did as a child. But many times people, especially with their cats, go, oh, you know, it's healthy. There's no problem. You know, last time it saw a veterinarian, it was when it was a kitten, and now it's 13. What are the views that you're finding from these pet owners?
Yeah, what we really saw is when they talked about preventive care, they really defined that as diet, exercise, care, play, and the emotional well-being of their pet. As opposed to veterinarians, when we talk about preventive care, that includes vaccinations, spay neutering, parasite control, and then obviously their health and well-being is part of our definition. But you can see, based on how the veterinarians are defining it versus how the pet owners are defining it, pet owners really believe that they're responsible for 80% of the preventive care. And so they don't think about the veterinarian's role in helping them with that preventive care.
And it is not uncommon at all. People come in and they have questions about behavior. And I want to answer it, but I think for two reasons. Number one, there is a disconnect again, because it takes a lot of time to do it properly. You know, you watch TV and you see some of these reality shows and, you know, these stars can go ahead and get that wayward dog or cat under control in 45 minutes or less. And people somewhat expect that a veterinarian will be able to do the same thing. It's like, not so much. And there's so many other things that I feel I need to focus on. I'm not sure how these are going to come together. What were you recommending? How are you seeing that they could mesh together more succinctly?
You know, I think it read, and you hit the nail on the head. The veterinarians are very stressed for time. And especially if you think a pet owner may only come into the veterinarian once a year and you've got all the health issues to talk to them about, you don't actually have a whole lot of time in that visit to talk to them about the behavioral issues or nutrition or those elements, which frankly is what they want to talk about, but you don't have the time. So I think I wish I could say Banfield had all the answers. What I will say is we're still absorbing the research and doing some testing to try to figure out how do we solve this problem. But I think one of the answers is how do we support our veterinarians inside the hospital with more marketing and education outside of the hospital? So how do we continue to ensure that the information that consumers are getting when they go online, so how do we partner with others, how do we partner with groomers and breeders and others in the larger pet care ecosystem to ensure that the information that they're getting from all those different sources, because I don't think people just rely only on the veterinarian anymore. So how do we partner and ensure that those other elements and those other players in the ecosystem have better information to share with the pet owner? And then encourage them, how do we get them to come in for a nutrition consultation or a behavioral consultation? Because the truth is it purely a price barrier? Is there a way that we can bring them in for those conversations and remove the barrier for price to ensure that they are, in fact, getting the right conversation? But if I think about it really strategically, as a veterinary profession, we've been a bit insular. We say, you know, you should be getting all your information from the veterinarian. Over the years, we've raised our prices. We've made getting care less affordable for the consumer. And so what we're finding is they are going to other sources in the ecosystem. And as a profession, we've been frustrated, but I'm not sure we've done anything to either partner with the broader ecosystem or look at our own pricing strategy to say, is there a way that we can incent these pet owners to come in more frequently? I do think, Banfield, that's a little bit of what has protected us because we do have our wellness plans, and that does incent people to come in, and there, you know, there's no office fee just to come in and have a conversation. So I think that has helped us a bit with a little bit of the issues that we've seen in the broader profession.
Janine, who are these pet owners going to? You mentioned a little bit about groomers. Is that, you know, the groomer, the breeder, the pet store, teenage kid? Who are they going to? Is it Dr. Google?
All of the above. So I think what we find is that in the, you know, system, they're talking to their groomers because they see the groomer more frequently. They are talking to trainers, behavioral trainers, if they've got a puppy who's potentially got some issues. They are talking to their friends, their neighbors, and they absolutely are looking on Dr. Google, no question.
I think all those sources, you're exactly right, are important, you know, as long as we're on the same page. There's so much misinformation out there, people having the best of intentions of what they're telling people. And oftentimes you may have a fearful dog that started to become aggressive and somebody who might not be aware just telling to be more assertive and more dominant over this animal. And that's exactly that wrong information for this pet. It may actually need a little bit of pharmacological assistance just to kind of bring it down a bit.
Yeah. And it actually, I think, is the thing that's the most scary, right, is the Dr. Google. And it's beyond content that's being put out there by the veterinary profession. So whether that's the AVMA or individual practitioners or websites like PetMD, where they are, in fact, getting contributions from veterinarians. The bigger concern is those consumers who are responding to one another, right? Oh, I have a pit bull, and this is how I trained my pit bull. I had a cat who also scratched. Here's what I did. You know, and more consumers are trusting other consumers far more than they are companies or brands. And so how do we combat that? How do we ensure that when a consumer is partnering together, how do we ensure that they're giving the right information to that pet owner? It is a broad and big problem, right? So for me, it really is about how do we help and connect those dots? Because I think as a profession, we can continue to put blinders on and say, well, they shouldn't be going to those sources. Or we can figure out how do we create a stronger and better partnership with our clients And how do we help ensure those other aspects of the ecosystem have the right information and good information so no matter where the consumer goes, they can get good information? You gave a great example when you talked about, you know, the change in regulation in terms of mammograms. In human healthcare, there's not even alignment. My doctor said the exact same advice to me. She goes, I would still go once a year. But you're getting information from an organization saying, well, maybe twice a year is okay, and it's really hard. You amplify that by 100% in the veterinary profession, right? Because independent practitioners all have different views, and you've got breeders and groomers and trainers and a lot of disconnected pieces in the ecosystem all giving different views on how you should be caring for your pet. It's not going to be an easy problem to solve. And I think for me, the sad part is this year in our state of pet health is the first year we took a real departure. But for the last 4 years, we've been looking at health trends. And the scary part is the trends are getting worse and worse, even within Banfield's database, where we do have pets that are coming in more frequently for preventive care. And so if we don't figure it out, we're going to continue to see these trends. We've seen an increase, 32% increase in diabetes in dogs. Dental disease is now affecting 78% of dogs and 68% of cats over the age of 3. And overweight and obesity is a huge issue, which is not surprising when you look at the statistics and how people are caring for those pets. And, you know, I know for me, my cat was on a weight control diet. And I kept wondering why she wasn't losing weight until I was homesick one day and my husband, who works from home, was giving her greenies all day long. And for him,
but they're good for her.
I know, and that's what he said, but they're good for her teeth. And it was a bonding moment for him. You know, she came over and she pat his leg and want the treat, and he felt like he was doing the right thing. But because of that, it's a 90% increase in overweight in cats. I mean, those are staggering numbers. And so I think what I can say is we don't know the answer, but we won't stop until we figure out the answer, because this trend can't continue. And it's not just about Banfield and our growth and getting our pets in. This is an industry-wide problem, and I think we're uniquely qualified to help the industry solve the problem.
And I think we have a trend where we need to stop right now, take a short break, get a message. We'll be right back with Ms. Janine Taff. She is the Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Banfield Pet Hospitals. We'll be right back.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
It's DesignerPetSweaters.com. Hand-knitted designer sweaters for your precious pup or cool cat. Beautiful couture patterns for your pets, including custom-knitted formal wear, casual wear, yachting, and even sports-themed. Many designer pet sweaters include feathered tammy hats, top hats, and a lot of sparkle. Each sweater includes leg loops, front paw sleeves, and leash opening. Visit DesignerPetSweaters.com to order your four-legged fashions today. Your pets will stay warm for the winter and be runway ready. Large or small, we fit them all. DesignerPetSweaters.com.
Are you having trouble getting the word out about your new pet product or invention? Let Whitegate PR open the gate to your marketing and public relations efforts. We've been specializing in public relations in the pet industry for over a decade. From press releases to media relations and publicity to pet trade shows and launch events to social media, the pet-friendly team at Whitegate PR has you covered. If you listen to the wise words of Bill Gates, he says, "If I had $1 left, I'd spend it on PR." Learn more at whitegatepr.com.
Pet Life Radio, the number one pet radio network on the planet, joins forces with iHeartRadio to put the power of your pets in your pocket.
Awesome.
Download the iHeartRadio app and rock Pet Life Radio on your phone, on your tablet, on your Xbox, in your car. Pet talk, pet tunes, and fun pet times. Pet Life Radio and iHeartRadio. Positively possum.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in and we'll see you now.
Ms. Taff, you were saying before the break these trends, and yes, I'm seeing them in my own practice, the obesity, the dental disease, the people just are unaware. You know, I flip the lip, and during my just routine wellness exams, I'll always have the owner come up, you know, help hold the pet, take a look and going, look, I need to have you do this every month if you can yourself at home, because you're going to be seeing your pet much more than I ever will. So I want you to be able to give, like we're supposed to do our own breast exams, I want you to give your pet, cat, dog, an exam. What's the body condition score? You see it every day and it's hard to tell that it's, oops, getting a little bit fluffy there. And before it becomes obese, when it's just fluffy, get some of the weight off. Try to figure out why. And then there's no special food. What's the dental issue? You know, they look at the little teeth in front going, that's nice. Let's look at the guys in the back. Oh my goodness. They just are not aware. So yes, getting that education out there to them. Non-anesthetic dentistries is a real bugaboo for a lot of people. And there are some places in the United States where you can go to your groomer and get the teeth cleaned. And this is not in your pet's best advice. What other trends are you seeing? So pet owners have concerns. What are their reasons? You said if they have a specific disease, they're going to see their veterinarian. What are some of the other main reasons they're seeing their vet?
Yeah, you know, they're coming in for specific disease issues for sure. Symptoms and behavior. So they are coming in if they're seeing a change in their pet's behavior. And the one place that I think we are aligned as a profession with the pet owners is certainly for vaccination and routine preventive care like flea and tick and heartworm. So there are some places where the profession and the pet owner are absolutely 100% aligned. And that's really good news, because what it says is when we do it right, we can in fact bring the pet owner and the veterinarian together. The disconnect is in exactly what you just described. You would be I'm sure you run a great preventive care practice if those are the conversations you're having every day with your pet owners, right? Because it really is helping them understand that they play a significant role in the care of their pet, and we're better together. It really is about that partnership between the veterinarian and the pet owner. And it's interesting, a few years ago, we did a kind of a rebranding campaign to look at our hospitals and look at our brand and what does it stand for. We did a significant amount of work around the word partnership versus relationship, because oftentimes the veterinarians are the knowledgeable expert, and there is no question, they bring a certain level of expertise. But what we heard from pet owners is that they also bring expertise to the equation, because they're with that pet 365 days a year, and the veterinarian may only see that pet one day, 2 days, or in my case, in your case, maybe 4 days a year. And so how do you make sure that the pet owner understands the role that they play in the health and wellness of their pet, and the role that they play in helping to inform the veterinarian of the role that they play? Because I think at times the veterinarian is so focused about trying to impart their knowledge about the things that they're experiencing that they sometimes forget to ask those questions of the pet owners. So the more the veterinarian can pose questions, what are you seeing? How has your pet been behaving? What kinds of behavior trends are you noticing? Are they still eating? You know, because oftentimes, I remember one of the best conversations I ever had with my veterinarian at Banfield. That was exactly what it was. It was a question and answer session. And I had come in with certain things I was looking for. But as he started to ask me a few different questions, I realized that my cat had, in fact, been drinking less water, that she had, in fact, been sleeping more. Neither of those questions would I have brought up on my own. Because, you know, cats sleep 16 hours a day. What's an extra hour? And I maybe hadn't noticed, but he posed a number of questions which pulled out of me some things that made him run an additional test. And, in fact, she was diagnosed with diabetes, which I'm not sure we would have known immediately. We caught it very early in the cycle.
And you're so right, Janine, that subtle change can be very significant. I love to have a client keep a pet health diary, you know, because even I go to my own doctor and I'm going to ask certain questions, and I know it's just, you know, a well woman checkup for me, but I still get a little bit nervous and my blood pressure probably goes up a little bit, and I leave the office going, oh shoot, I was going to ask such a question, or I've been noticing a change in myself and oh dang, I forgot to ask that question. So when a pet owner keeps a health diary and just says, huh, Yeah, maybe it has been sleeping some more. Or the pet, when it wakes up in the morning, that dog's not bounding out of bed as, you know, quickly as it used to be. Ah, yeah, it's getting old. It means nothing. But you're right, by combining forces of what the pet owner sees at home and what the veterinarian with their expertise sees, feels, hears, sometimes smells in an office call, put it all together and you really have that personalized approach of pet care for your pet.
That's exactly right.
With Banfield, I know you have wellness plans. Explain a little bit where that philosophy came from and what these wellness plans involve.
Yes, like I said, the founder of Banfield really had a strong focus on preventive care. And the wellness plans really were started as a way to remove a barrier for clients coming into the veterinarian. So in some of the early research that was done at Banfield, what we found is pet owners were hesitant to come into the veterinarian, probably like you said, A, you may not see the behaviors in your pet, or you may kind of self-diagnose and say, oh, they're just getting older. And then secondly, a pricing barrier. So clients, you know, going, I can't really afford to pay an office visit just to find out I'm an anxious pet owner and there's nothing really wrong. And so really, they were brought to life as a way to help veterinarians educate about preventive care with the owner, as well as a way to really remove a barrier for care. So at Banfield, our wellness plan have unlimited free office visits. So you can come in throughout the year, and there is no cost to the actual office visit. And then it includes a set kind of list of services that are included depending on the plan that you're on. And those plans are really designed around health stages, so puppies and kittens, young, healthy pets, more senior pets, or maybe a pet that is young but has more health issues. So the plans are kind of advanced based on the needs of that pet. And what it does is it says, here are the services you need in 1 year, and it just allows you to spread the payment of those services over the 12 months. And really, they're designed to help our veterinarians have a good conversation with the pet owner about all the aspects of preventive care that are included in the plan, as well as removing a barrier for the cost of care and allowing those clients to spread that cost over a 12-month period.
I love it. And it sounds like a wonderful program because, yes, oftentimes you do have a question, but you have that concern about cost. And maybe I'm just being the neurotic pet owner. You were talking about the various life stages. And if you could kind of, in a general form, go through, okay, as a puppy kitten, what are the preventive measures that need to be taken for that life stage versus adult and senior and those ill pets? What would you do? What would be the recommendations for a puppy or a kitten?
Yeah, so we obviously have a plan that's designed for the puppies and kittens, but if I talk in really broad terms, what you're doing with a puppy and kitten is really alleviating the concerns and stress that comes with bringing a new pet into the family. So whether you're a first-time pet owner or you're bringing a puppy or kitten into a household where there are existing pets, your veterinarian should be partnering with you to talk about what you need at that stage, what the needs of that pet are, and really building the plan that that pet is going to need for their first year of life. And then for us, in the adult stage, especially based on the research that we're now seeing about that disconnect, it's really about building trust with the pet owner, sharing your point of view, and continuing to grow that partnership with you and the pet.
So as an adult, being concerned with nutrition and behavior, it's really something that's going to be continuum throughout their entire lifespan, but with looking more for lumps and bumps in that adult pet that you wouldn't really be so concerned with as a puppy or kitten. You're not going to see the lumps and bumps. Chances of things like cancer are greatly reduced in that younger pet, though it can happen. So puppies, vaccines, kittens, vaccines, neutering, parasites, socialization, adults.
Yep, and that's where you start looking for, exactly as you said, the preventive care really focuses on looking for early signs of disease. Can you check the pet to see if there are lumps and bumps? Are there, you know, and that's really where the more personal you can get and breed specific. So depending on the breed of the pet, if it's a breed that is commonly, you know, sees hip dysplasia, how do you start looking for that early? How do you look at a pet that maybe has mobility, you know, a trend towards younger issues with mobility? How do you find that earlier? So it really is starting to understand that pet to a much greater degree. And for us, that's where that yearly visit or twice yearly visit for us becomes so critical. Because if you can get that twice yearly measure and, you know, evaluate the pet, how is their mobility looking? What are their lab work coming back? How are their levels looking? What side of normal? Are they on the high end of normal or the low end of normal? That's where you can really start establishing baselines in those young adult years into their kind of middle ages, where you can start finding trends that hopefully you'll be able to catch disease early.
So it sounds like having a personalized approach, really starting with the end in mind, you know, start early, get them used to having their teeth brushed, seeing the veterinarian, getting the cat so it's not going to just be the heavy metal rock band yowler as it's in that car going to the vet, because I'm just as bad. My cats don't like going with me to my office, and I know that is a deterrent as to why, oh, I don't want to stress them and take them in, but I know there's sometimes I need the services that only my practice can provide that I can't do at home.
I think you're so right. I have two cats, and one, you know, literally I can pick her up, put her in the carrier, and it's nothing. and the other gets in the carrier and actually freaks out so much he makes the carrier roll across the hallway. And I've got tears rolling down my face, right, because I'm thinking I'm tormenting my poor cat. But I know he needs to go in. And part of that's that I didn't have him at a young age. He was abandoned and we adopted him. And I know he is not yet used to going into the veterinarian. And it's so critical to create that routine for the pet so it's not a stressor for them. And as you well know, if they're stressed, you also don't get great blood values, right? So the readings are not as great if the pet is stressed. So the more you can create that trusting relationship with the owner as well as with the pet, right, which is such a critical part. And then for us, really starting that dental care early. There are so many research studies that have come out, you know, one that, you know, we conducted here at Banfield around the importance of keeping that bacteria out of your pet's mouth. And I know for me as a cat owner, most cats die from kidney disease, and staving off that kidney failure by getting that bacteria out of their mouth every year is a really critical part of their ongoing health as an adult.
And all the treats in the world, they are maybe somewhat helpful for keeping dental disease under control, but that gold standard is always going to be brushing your pet's teeth, starting at an early age, get them used to it so they think that it's not kitty doggy torture, that it's just normal, it's not bad, and then seeing your veterinarian and asking questions. I think that's what it really gets down to. I think that's what you found in this State of the Pet Health report, is that veterinarians, pet owners really need to have a dialogue. They each need to listen to each other.
Yep, I think that that is the critical piece, and there's not one size fits all, right? So my two cats, I had four at one point in my history, and one of them needed a dental every 6 months, just for whatever reason, had really bad teeth and continued to build tremendous plaque buildup. And the other was fine with every other year, had very little plaque, very little dental disease. It's no different than humans, right? My family, you know, I've got terrible teeth issues. My husband has great teeth. So you never know. And it's exactly the same. And I think often we as pet owners think every pet is going to be the same. And the truth is they're just not. And that dialogue between you and your veterinarian, as much knowledge and expertise as veterinarians bring, they don't know your pet as well as you do. And so how do you make sure that you're putting your voice into the equation, asking the right questions, and giving that information to the veterinarian so they can continue to give you the best expert advice that they can?
And Janine, there are no dumb questions. Oftentimes people, my clients will come in and you can tell they sheepishly want to ask a question and they're embarrassed because, oh, this is really a stupid question. I should know the answer. And there's no dumb questions. It's just a matter of you don't know. If you want me to ask dumb questions, let me talk to you about my car or computer. So those are the dumb ones that are out there because I don't know. But you're willing to ask, that's fabulous. And your veterinarian shouldn't roll their eyes. And if they do, it's time to find another veterinarian.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
This has just been wonderful. I really appreciate the research that Banfield has done. I think it's going to be very eye-opening for the profession and hopefully the pet owner also. If there is one thing that we should know about Banfield that we don't know, what is that in parting?
You know, I think that as a large veterinary practice, we believe we have an obligation to help lift the veterinary profession as a whole. That this is not research that's just about driving Banfield or Banfield visit. It's that we as an organization have a really long-standing belief in the importance of preventive care, and that we believe we're uniquely qualified to help the industry solve this problem and figure out how to get the pet owners back into the veterinarian.
I've been talking today with Ms. Janine Taff. She is the Senior Vice President of Sales and Marketing for Banfield Pet Hospital. Janine, thank you so much for being with us. This has really, I think, been eye-opening. Bottom line is, if you have a question, talk to your veterinarian. Get your pet in at least once a year. Twice as likely, much better for its health, because you want that pet to live as long a healthy life as possible. Ms. Taff, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you very much.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. You've been listening to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. Thank you for listening. Please tune in again next week. We'll have more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. Take care.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.